Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. I have a live link also at thetrumpet.com. Well, as people go through life, occasionally they will ask, what am I doing here? You know, where am I going? What is my future? And what's the relevance of what I'm doing? Life has a lot of different mile markers, so to speak. You know, there's graduations and marriage and family and death. And what's the point of it all? At some point, most people probably think about that a little bit. And it would be pretty depressing if there was no point, if it was all just random. And some people think that it is. But that would be pretty depressing if it was just sort of a random sequence of events and none of it really mattered. But thankfully, we don't have to guess about that. We can look at why life exists, why we exist, and what our purpose is. The only place to get answers to the really big and seemingly unanswerable questions is in the Bible. The Bible has the answers that we can't get anywhere else. Here's a quote from our Bible Correspondence course. It's called the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, and it's free at thetrumpet.com. If you have not signed up for it, please do so. And this quote says, "The Bible is simply God's divine revelation of basic needed knowledge that man is not capable of finding out for himself by any other means." And so when we look at the Bible and we see the answers in the Bible to life's biggest questions, there's nowhere else we can get those answers from. I mean, people could guess or, you know, come up with an hypothesis of some kind, but we don't know the answers to the really big questions without going to the Bible. We have to go there to find the answers. And that's why the Bible is so valuable and so essential for us. Again, this quote continues. It's from Lesson 1 of our Correspondence course. It says, "God equipped human beings with the powers and abilities to discover the laws of science and to use them, but absolutely no tools or instruments of science can ever tell you if there is life after death." See, that's one of the big questions. Is there life after death? How about the purpose of your being alive? Where you are going? Or how about what's the way to be happy? There's a lot of material on that in the world, but yet people still grapple with it. How to be happy? The Bible gives us the answer. How to have the abundant and peaceful life here and now, today? See, those are things that people really do try to find the answers to, and ultimately only the Bible gives us those answers. The quote says, "Our scientists, our world leaders, and our statesmen have failed utterly to tell us these answers." And now, of course, if you know, watch the news, there's quite a few experts out there that claim to know the way to solve things. Every politician that's up for election has all the answers, so they say. And yet, what do we find after they get into office? Well, things kind of go as they go. Usually, the problems aren't solved. They might get a little better in some cases. Some cases, they get a lot worse. But the solutions aren't really ever come to. So we need to get our answers from somewhere else. And of course, as we're talking about today, those answers come from the Bible. They come from God. We need answers. And the Bible reveals these answers and more. See, that's the value of the Bible. It's the value of studying it. It gives us the answers that we need to many questions. Notice this passage, 2 Timothy 3. We'll look at a few passages today. If you do have a Bible handy, be good to get it out. We could look at these scriptures together. 2 Timothy 3, notice verses 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If we study and apply God's word, it leads us toward the perfection of God. It leads us to good works. I mean, how do we even know what good works are? Well, the Bible has to show us what those are. We don't even know those things. The scriptures are profitable for the purpose of reproving and correcting us. That's where sometimes people balk at the Bible because they don't want to be corrected. You know, if we look into the law of God and we're honest about it, we're going to find that we've got work to do, that we have to change, we have to grow, we have to improve. And the Bible shows us where we need to improve and how to do it. And that's a very valuable tool. Sometimes people will talk about, you know, going to therapy or having some sort of a life coach or something like that to try to help them, you know, navigate life. But how about the Bible? How about using the Bible, that word of God, that perfect word of God, to instruct us, to reprove and correct us, to give us the answers that we need to these big questions in life, and to show us, you know, how to be happy, how to have a happy and abundant life here and now and into the future. Notice again the correspondence course. It says the Bible is God's great spiritual mirror. You know, so we look into it and it shows us where we're falling short. And also we could see, well, maybe we've had some success too. You know, there's a lot of positive there, of course. But we do see that we have some areas we need to grow in. That Bible is God's great spiritual mirror, it says. It shows up every flaw in our thinking, reveals every spot on our characters. It pictures us as we really are, as God sees us, not as we like to think we are or as we like to have other people look upon us. See, that's a great point. It really shows us who we are, how we're living, and we can look at it and see what, you know, God sees. That would be something, right? If you could send off for a report from God and he could send it to you and say, here's exactly what I'm thinking. You know, I think, you know, on one hand, we'd probably like to see that. On another hand, maybe that'd be scary. But the Bible does that if we use it. And it's really interesting because sometimes people will write in and they'll have biblical questions. And the topic of the Sabbath came up recently. We had a Key of David program on the Sabbath. And some people viewed that and then wrote in and said, well, they don't really see it the way that, you know, the Bible describes it, or they had their own take on it. And the person said, but I know God's happy with me. Well, how do they know that? They would like to think that. That makes them feel good to say that. And they might be doing some things well, you know, but they're not keeping the Sabbath. And yet they say, well, no, I'm, you know, God's happy with me. Well, if we look into the word of God, we don't have to just sort of guess or hope about that. We can look and say, okay, well, there's a command here. Am I keeping it or not? See, the Bible's a spiritual mirror for us. It's so valuable. You know, we can receive the truth. What's that worth, to receive the truth? Sometimes that's hard to take. But if we have a right attitude about it, it's valuable, right? Because we say, okay, you know, it's not easy to be told where I'm not doing the best, but at least I know and now I can work on it. See, that's what we can do. We can receive the truth. We can look in that spiritual mirror and face the truth about ourselves, and then we can really move forward. See, it's really a positive exercise getting into the Bible, studying it with an open mind and being honest about it and about how we're doing in relation to what God instructs us in his word. Notice Psalm 111. Psalm 111 here, and let's read verses 7 and 8. It says, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. You know, society changes a lot, but the law of God doesn't. It stands fast forever and ever. Those commandments are the same today as they've always been. They worked thousands of years ago. They work today. And if we don't keep them, they exact a penalty today, just like they would have, you know, years ago. It's something that's steadfast. The word of God, it's steadfast. It continues. Verse 10, it says, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endures forever. You know, God's word is never outdated. It is always right. It always works. It's not, you know, situational, like, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It always works. It takes wisdom to know how to apply it, of course, but it always works. It's always useful to us. It's always beneficial. You can see the Bible is just for our benefit. Some people choose not to use it, but it's there for our benefit. It's for our good. That's why God had it written. It's to help us, and it's for our good if we'll use it. Notice Daniel 12. Daniel 12. As we read there in Psalm 111, we have a good understanding when we keep God's commandments. We have a good understanding when we do that. And we all want to have a good understanding, of course. Daniel 12, verses 9 through 10. It says, and he said, go your way, Daniel. And of course, if you know much about Daniel, you know God revealed a lot to him and used him very powerfully, his old book in the Bible, about what Daniel experienced and went through and what he was told. But it says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So Daniel received revelation and he didn't understand it, didn't understand all of it and what was going on. But God said, we'll just write it down, seal it up. It'll be for the time of the end. Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And there's plenty of that going on, of course. It says, none of the wicked shall understand. People that don't keep God's laws, they're not going to have understanding. It says, but the wise shall understand. So for those who do wickedly, that's breaking the law of God. They don't have understanding. They're just going about in a way that's causing harm to themselves and to others. And we've got, you know, lots of examples of that, unfortunately, in this earth. The way to solve those problems is to begin to keep the law of God, and that requires looking into the Bible. You know, the wise, it says, do understand the word of God. They apply it in their lives, and that's why they're wise, because they're putting that law into practice. They're getting the benefit from it. So study of the Bible has never been needed more than now. We are at that time of the end that we read about there in verse 9, where it says the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, those prophecies are opened, and they continue to be opened to those that are looking into the Bible and seeing what the Bible says. And again, not just reading in their own thoughts or ideas about it, but really studying it and seeing what it says. Our correspondence course helps you go through your Bible. It takes you through a lot of major, you know, questions that you might have. Well, what happens after a person dies? You know, is there life after this life? And is there a heaven and a hell? People talk about that all the time. What does the Bible say about that? What about the second coming of Jesus Christ? You know, what about worshiping God? Is there a way to do that? Is there a way that is not appropriate? I mean, there's all kinds of religions, all kinds of ideas. We need to know what the Bible says. This correspondence course will help you see what your Bible says. It'll take you right to all the different scriptures. You can look up the scriptures and read it for yourself and get God's understanding on the topics, on the questions that you might have. Notice 2 Timothy 3. This is a scripture we talk about a bit. 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 through 15. Here we see what time will be like, you know, in our day today. The Bible prophesied of this, you know, many years ago. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there are plenty of people that are deceived. They don't know that they're doing the wrong thing. They think they're doing, you know, what's right or, you know, what'll work, but it doesn't work because they're deceived. And then in some cases going out and deceiving others. Verse 14, it says, but continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. There is a way to go. There is a proper direction. Verse 15, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul here is writing to Timothy, who's a young man at the time. And he's telling him, well, continue on in those things that you have learned. Don't get into deception. And what is it that Timothy learned? Well, he learned the scriptures. He learned the Bible. And because he studied them and because he was applying them, they were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Well, we're in, you know, have that same opportunity. We can look at the scriptures as well. Timothy studied them. Paul, of course, studied them. Paul was the author of some of them. God through him, of course. And, you know, we can study the scriptures too. We can get that same help that we need. We can get those same answers that we need. The scriptures, those are the things that make us wise unto salvation. It's not our opinion or a thought or, you know, kind of searching around out there for some new ideas or something. It's the scriptures and understanding them and studying them. Notice one other scripture here, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Just a simple statement. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So in order to prove all things, we've really got to look at the Bible and study it. And then we've got to hold fast to it. Like when we prove it, okay, then keep doing it. You know, we have this whole era here, church era that we're in. The Bible talks about seven church eras, and we're in the final one, the Laodicean era. You can read about that in Revelation 3. And it's marked by many people not holding fast that which is good. They seems like, anyway, they proved things to a point, but then at some point they gave up on it. And they said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, did the scriptures change, or did God's law change, or did God change? Of course he didn't. We've already read that. He's steadfast. He's sure. His word doesn't change. He doesn't change. If something was right 50 years ago, it's still right. If something was wrong 50 years ago, it's still wrong. And yet many people have thrown up their hands and said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to hold to what I learned. Paul told Timothy, he said, you make sure you stick with that. You stick with what you have learned, right, from the Holy Scriptures. Notice this again from the correspondence course. It says, when the Apostle Paul came to Berea, the people found he was preaching something utterly different than that which they had been taught and had believed. And that's very true today. If you listen to this show or any of the shows at thetrumpet.com, it might be a bit different than what you've heard because, again, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of assumption about what the Word of God says. But in those cases, people haven't really looked into the Bible, or if they have, they haven't taken it seriously. These people, as we just read here, talking about the Apostle Paul, you know, they said, well, this is interesting. We haven't heard this before. It's different. The quote says, they did not know whether Paul was a false prophet or a man sent from God. But to their credit, notice what they did. This is Acts 17 and verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and that means without prejudice. They were just, okay, let's see what it says, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's pretty amazing. They said, well, this is a new message. I haven't really heard this before. I'm going to get out my Bible and prove it. I must see what's being said here. And I'm not going to read in my own assumptions or what I already think it means, but I'm going to really look at this. What does it say? The quote says, so study your Bible without prejudice, but be careful to prove all things, as the Bereans did, search the scriptures. Read and study your Bible daily. Check up for yourself and see what it really does teach. You know, and again, it just says, look, we can't assume that we already know, or we can't assume that what we've always heard is true because, well, it's what everybody says. We've really got to look at the Bible for ourselves. I think if there's anything that we could learn from the time period that we're in, just observing world events, is that there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of things that are said, and they're presented very authoritatively as fact, and yet the more you look into it, you find that it's not true. That's especially true in religion. You really do need to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And our correspondence course will help you do that. It's free at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.